agricultural, rural development, food security agenda that we're working on. So understanding this interaction of progress in some areas, less progress in others, and the multiple experiences and statuses of women creates the complexity and the challenges of the development agenda. So if we look at the way our work within the CG addresses this very challenging agenda, we have some issues that are addressed at the CRP level. We have another set of issues that are being addressed at the system level because they're common to the CRPs. So each of our CRPs, as we'll hear later today, is going through an exercise of understanding and prioritizing what are some of the key gender barriers that we face in achieving the specific objectives of these CRPs. How can we understand the level and kind of heterogeneity within the client groups for these CRPs that really matters? And that is a very important research agenda. It links in with the development agenda, but the development part of our partnership can't do the work unless the research part clarifies some of these interactions and understands some options for addressing them. So then the question is, how do we work together once we have this increased knowledge to design interventions with our development partners that will achieve what is desired at the CRP level? And then very interestingly and importantly, how do we do it at scale? Much of the work in gender research is actually confined to relatively small areas, pilot studies. And the question is, what happens when we try to scale that up? The heterogeneity then sometimes explodes on us because the environments that we scale up are not the same as the ones in which we did the research. So we have to understand then the dimensions of scale. And we have to monitor the outcomes so that we learn and we know how to adjust as we go along. So that fundamentally, in my view, is what each of our CRP programs is trying to address in the gender dimension. And if you think about that, it's rather clear why the problem has not gone away. While the problem is recognized, addressing it is extremely complex. And then at the system level, we are trying to pull together some common ingredients that will be helpful for all. And so we need to identify some of the policy and institutional issues and barriers that are common across CRPs. We need to do a diagnosis and to understand very clearly which of those barriers are within the core domain of the CG system to address. Then we need to understand which are the ones that we can address, but only together with our partners. So there's an issue of subsidiarity here. Who does what best? What is the comparative advantage? And then there are some gender barriers that are tremendously important that we would like to have action on, but that frankly are outside of the domain where we can really be effective. And I think it's very important for us to recognize that, to step back from those and to make sure that we're in discussion with counterparts and partners who can address those that are really outside of our domain. So then also at the system level, we can extrapolate, we can generalize, we can draw lessons across CRPs that are sometimes difficult for the CRPs engaged in their own agendas to see the general picture. And very importantly, we can improve the data and the methods that are available to all so that we can expand the research agenda at lower costs so that we don't have to invent the methods and the tools as we go along. This is essentially the agenda that we're pursuing at the CRP level and at the system level. And we're well engaged in it. We're well started. I would have to say that it's not yet done. But I think even though I have emphasized the complexity and the challenges that we face, I think it's also important to keep in mind that when we get it right, when we find the right subsidiarity, when we find the right assignment of responsibilities, when we get the research and the knowledge combined with the resources that the development partners have, it is possible to make progress very quickly. Visible progress, measurable progress. We can do this in the short term. We can also prepare for the longer term. So that's, I think, a very important message to remember. Even though it's difficult, even though it's complex, it can be done. And it's important for us to record, measure, and publicize the occasions in which it is done, when we do have some good occasions and good success. And I've highlighted just one of them here, which is part of the experience of a number of of centers and CRPs within the CG system. We've heard about it this morning already from John on the nutrition side, the orange flesh sweet potato. But in this, I want to emphasize the role of gender in helping to speed the adoption of, in the role of gender knowledge in helping to speed the adoption of this very promising new technology. And so we had the developers of the technology working together with the gender researchers to understand under what conditions might this be rapidly adopted. And the conclusions that they came to through the gender research was that it really mattered to understand who controlled the land use, who made the decisions about land use, and they found that it wasn't just the land that is fully controlled by the women where, you know, they could find good uptake of the orange flesh sweet potato. Rather, it's where the control of the land is joint, where you have both male and female oversight and control of the land, but the primary decision about the crops that are grown is made by the woman in the household. So that became very important. And then also how to structure the communication about a new technology. It became important to understand who's making the decision, make sure that the communication gets to that person. You can't rely on channels of communication within the household, thinking if you just reach, you know, one person within the household, the message will get out. So this is just, you know, one example of how paying attention to gender in the design of a dissemination or adoption strategy can make it go better and has actually contributed. So what are we doing in sum in terms of closing the gender knowledge gap? We're collecting and making available and also analyzing a larger number of sets of sex disaggregated data. We have lots of data floating around the world, floating around the CG system. Relatively little of it is sex disaggregated, so that we can't really ask the number of the gender-based questions that we would like to. So we're increasing the number of these data sets that are sex disaggregated, and we're developing a set of basic common standards for how you include gender and sex in the data collection process. We're continuing the empirical work on learning lessons about gender and agriculture, and particularly drawing comparative lessons, linking different findings from different studies and doing some meta-analysis. We're working with partners to explore different delivery mechanisms, understanding how gender can be well embedded in the development project or, you know, the national program context. And we're evaluating the outcomes, focusing on the gendered impact of agricultural interventions. And very importantly, we're generalizing with caution, but we have to generalize. We have to be able to move from the specific of the study to a larger scale so that we can make those findings available to a larger group. So with that, I hope that I have effectively set the stage for the more specific discussions that we'll have on the part of our CRPs, and I thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Karen, for succinctly giving us a picture of the agenda that cuts across all the CRPs and all